ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. We finish the chapter, hopefully, chapter 18. Texts 47 through 50. The person speaking is the sage, Shamakrishi, the father of Sringi, and he's speaking to his son. And he's explained the reasons why what he just did, cursing the Maharaj Pariksit, was wrong, and the consequences. The consequence, in a general sense, is reaction going to all the brahmanas, not just to that boy or to the boy and his father, but to all the brahmanas, extending through the age of Kali, that they would be bearing a heavy sin. And the other consequence that he describes is having disrespected the qualified Maharaj Pariksit, the king who was to be taken as good as God, then the rule of monarchy would be spoiled, and then the downstream consequences of monarchy being absent, what would happen? So bad consequences, undeserving act, and now this verse 47, he's praying to the Personality of Godhead, the sage, to pardon his immature boy who had no intelligence and who committed the great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected. This is nice. Subordinates are deserving protection, and those that are in a position of superiors should remember what their duty is. Their duty is not just to exercise their authority over their subordinates, and in this case cursing them, rather messages duty is protection. So normally we think of kshatriyas as extending protection, but who protects the kshatriyas? And the answer is the brahmanas protect the kshatriyas. The brahmanas, being at the head of the social orders, are meant to give protection to their subordinates and not to curse them. So with brahminical strength, the brahmanas extend protection, not with military strength or physical strength. That's not the brahmanas' duty, is to be like muscle-bound guys, big, powerful, strong fighters. Their duty is to be of spiritual strength, and spiritual strength can also offer protection. If a kshatriya goes off the path by spiritual strength, the brahmana, that is through their instructions, they bring them back onto the path by their instructions, by their brahminical strength. that way they extend protection. And by extending protection to the Kshatriyas, the byproduct of that is, as we've been reading, others are naturally protected, because the Kshatriya's duty is to see that the others are engaged according to their nature and their prescribed duties. That's a nice system, but when it's abused, it's not a nice system. It looks like the system is bad, but the system isn't bad, the abuse is bad. And Kali, the symptom of Kali is when something that's good gets abused, that it becomes bad. There's so much discussion about that. The criticism of this terrible caste system is the terribleness is the abuse of it, not the essence of it. The essence of it is something that Krishna has created, so it's not inherently disgusting. The abuses are. So the Kali Yuga kickoff was the abuse of minical strength. Instead of offering protection to subordinates, it's using brahminical strength to curse or bring harm to subordinates. Very bad. Very bad. And that's how the sage is feeling. He's feeling this is very bad. Prabhupada goes on to clarify, there are occasions when a Brahmana may furiously curse a subordinate, Kshatriya or Vaishya, etc. But in the case of Maharaj Pariksit, there were no grounds, as already explained. So here we're hearing Brahmanas are not supposed to be docile. If circumstance calls for it, they can be very strong. They have to be qualified to judge when that's necessary and appropriate, and when it's not. An immature boy or an immature brahmana, whatever his age is, an immature individual isn't going to be able to discriminate what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. When to be strong and when to be gentle. The foolish boy had done his cursing out of sheer vanity in being a Brahmin's son, and thus he became liable to be punished by the law of God. Here, this is very nice. Prabhupada writes, the Lord never forgives a person who condemns his pure devotee. So, be careful. Be very careful. Therefore, by cursing the king, the foolish Ringi had committed not only a sin, but also a great offense. Therefore, the Rishi could foresee that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could save his boy from his sinful act. So he prayed to the Supreme Lord, please intervene. He was just a small boy, didn't know what he was doing. It was very bad what he did, but he didn't know what he was doing. Please forgive him. Then Prabhupada does what he occasionally does. He raises a doubt. Some persons might say something. I mean, how do you address this something? And here's the answer. So some persons may say that since it was the desire of the Lord that Pariksit be put into that awkward position so that he might be delivered from material existence, then why was a Brahmana's son made responsible for the offensive act? What's the answer to that one? It's the Lord's plan. He's just being an instrument of the Lord's plan. Why is he going to get severely punished for that? The answer is that the offensive act was performed by a child only so that he could be excused very easily, and thus the prayer of the father was accepted. But if the question is raised why the Brahmana community as a whole was made responsible for allowing Kali into world affairs, the answer is given in Varaha Purana, where it says that the demons who acted inimically toward the personality of Godhead but were not killed by the Lord were allowed to take birth in the families of Brahmanas to take advantage of the age of Kali. That's Krishna, when Krishna appeared. There were demons that weren't killed by Krishna. So they were allowed to take birth in families of Brahmanas to take advantage of the age of Kali, according to Brahma Prana. So this is one of those guys, this little boy. The demon that Krishna didn't kill, took his next birth as the son of a sage. So Prabhupada has answered his question by saying the sin incurred by the Brahmana boy was excused on the strength of his father's prayer to the Supreme Lord. But why the Brahminical community in general had to suffer or was held accountable is because of this Varaha Purana explanation. They had already acted inimically toward Krishna, but they weren't killed. And so they're held responsible for now this act of the one from the Brahmana community cursing Lord Priksha. The all-merciful Lord gave them a chance to have their births in families of pious Brahmanas so that they could progress towards salvation, but the demons, instead of utilizing the good opportunity, misused the Brahminical culture due to being puffed up by vanity and in becoming Brahmanas. So I'm those of you that have had, except for Drew, having had the opportunity to mix with persons born in Brahmin families, I'm sure you've had the experience, I've had the experience, where some such persons, they're hardly even human. They're so arrogant, nasty, like, oh, vicious nasty, in terms of how they conduct themselves and how they feel about themselves and how they just like spit on people below them. They're nasty. I can narrate some descriptions of people like that I've experienced. Whew. They're not Brahmins. And that vanity, puffed up by vanity, as twice Prabhupada has used that phrase, it's stringy, but it's also others who have that birth without qualification. So they have some position in misuse, and that's one of the things that makes people like really hate the Varnashram system or the caste system, because of the arrogant head of the caste system and looking upon others as untouchable, things like that. I mean, it certainly goes against the grain of democracy or, you know, communism. Everyone's the same. There's no distinctions. There are distinctions. There are distinctions of capacity, there's distinction of propensity. And that's all that the Varna and Ashram system is establishing in terms of differences. The sameness is they're all working cooperatively. When it's working properly, they're all working cooperatively to serve the Supreme. You know, the hand is assisting the arm, and the arm is assisting the body, and the legs are assisting all of that, and the head is giving direction, and all the parts of the body are working together. We don't, like Prabhupada explains, if you have pain in your toe, it's not like, oh, it doesn't matter, the pain in my toe. You'll spend as much time, money, and energy fixing that pain in your toe as you would pain anywhere else. You value that toe. You don't like the pain in the toe. And so those who are giving protection don't, you know, cut off the toe because, oh, it hurts. It's like, there's protection, natural. And so the misuse of that which is natural is very wrong and culpable. That's what's being described here. Text 48. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. The Sanskrit word is pratikurvanti. Pratikurvanti is to counteract. Na pratikurvanti. They don't have a get back spirit. It's just not their nature. Because if there's some anomaly or some reversal, something that really just doesn't seem appropriate, they take it. Either this is a reaction for something from my past that I don't see, I don't know, and that's okay, so I accept it. Or there's some higher plan of the Lord which I can't see and I don't know, but I accept it. Now let me work within that frame as a servant of the Lord and see how the Lord would like him to responsibly serve him. In the purport, Prabhupada says a few very nice things. The sage, the rishi, also knew that the Lord does not forgive a person who has committed an offense at the feet of the devotee. The Lord can only give direction to take shelter of the devotee. He doesn't interfere with that program. So the sage was thinking that if Maharaj Pikshit would counteract that curse that the boy gave, he might be saved.